ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000. Brian Hanley, Mark Zander, what are you putting on the grill this weekend? As I said, Brian, I'm not sure what your plans are for today, maybe tomorrow, whatever. I'm going to a party today. I'm going to my cousin's party, so whatever is on the grill, I'm eating. Unless it's something really weird like octopus.
Well, calamari?
That's squid.
Yeah, or the kind that they throw on the ice in Detroit. I mean, like the
no, those are full-blown octopi.
Right,
No.
Do you have a signature go-to, you know, recipe for grilling that people always comment on? I mean, do you do anything different with your burgers? I used to put Worcestershire sauce in it for a stretch there, and then I stopped doing that. I just pretty much salt them and try to, you know, dress them up.
You know what? I am not the master of the grill. Years ago, I was, when the kids were little, worked the gas grill. My wife has a Weber grill now, and she's the master of the Weber grill. And she's going on a business trip, and she grilled out a bunch of stuff yesterday and put it in the refrigerator. And she kind of said,
"She's a keeper."
She did a pork loin that is just. She said, "This is out of this world." Because she's very competitive. Last week, I cooked a pork loin when she was gone, and she came back. She said, "This is good." And then all of a sudden, she bought another pork loin. It's like, "We just had this." She goes, "Yeah, but I can do better." It's like, oh, there's that competitive spirit. She played college softball, so she's a competitive spirit.
So what's her, what?
She won't tell me what it is. She just told me, come home and have it. It's really great. You're going to enjoy it. And I said, what did you do to it? She goes, I'm not telling you. It's like, oh, come on. Really? We're doing this now?
See, I used to marinate steaks, and I think it was a half a cup of Worcestershire, a quarter cup of red wine vinegar, and a quarter cup of olive oil. And, you know, mix that up and then marinate the steaks for overnight or whatever, even, you know, 3 or 4 hours. I've gone old school. I've gone back to like sirloin, right? There's a flavor to sirloin. You can spend a month's mortgage to go get tenderloin or whatever now.
Sure.
But if you cook a sirloin correctly and don't overdo it, the flavor in that cut of meat is good enough. You really don't need to marinate it, right? I mean, I know the tougher cuts of meat, like flank steak and whatever, it probably helps to marinate it a bit. But maybe some of our listeners out there can tell us what they do. You know, if they do something different to the hamburger meat or to their steaks or how they, you know, dress up a brat, whatever. We, you know, our first caller made me hungry for ribs now. But that, again, ribs intimidate me. The whole process.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what he broke it down. You know, boiling a ham's beer.
Yeah.
Night before, put it in the refrigerator, rip that fat strap off the back. The next day, throw it on the grill. Doesn't take too long because you boiled the ribs in beer the night before. That sounds easy. Wow, how was that intimidating? That sounds super easy.
That was something I probably can handle. So I'll try that. Not tonight necessarily because I don't have any ribs.
What are you having tonight?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Game time decision?
Depending when all the fireworks start going off, I might be just throwing on some leftover pizza because everyone will want to watch fireworks. So I don't know.
312-332-3776. Lately, I have not been, as I told you, the grill is not really my thing anymore. But I went down to, I spent some time in Florida this past March, and I rediscovered my love of Cajun food, and now I've been cooking jambalaya and doing stuff like that. So I've been the rice master lately.
Are you an étouffée guy?
Yeah.
Man, I mean, when you're in New Orleans and you eat, I don't even know how to make that stuff, but boy. That is, what's the holy trilogy? Celery, red peppers.
The Trinity. Yeah.
Yeah, Trinity. Yeah, yeah. Not trilogy. Whatever. and Florida, whenever you're down there, it's, you know, you got to get grilled grouper sandwiches or anything.
Redfish, you have to get down when you're in the Gulf because that's the fish of New Orleans. Redfish. Awesome. absolutely awesome. So what are you throwing on the grill? 312-332-3776. How are you preparing it? Give us some ideas. Brian needs some ideas. Nothing too intimidating for Brian.
Yeah.
You have a gas grill or a charcoal?
I have a gas grill, and I got a Big Green Egg 4 years ago as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done like the pork shoulder.
Those are the pellets, right? You put pellets in those, or is that something different? That's a pellet grill. Okay.
Yeah, the Big Green Egg is more of a smoker, but without the pellets, it's just. But yeah, that's when you get the 20 pounds worth of pork shoulder, and you got to keep the temperature like 225 or 250 for the whole day, and
right,
it's got the thermometer with the remote thermometer, so it beeps when you're either going too high or too
fancy.
Low.
So is that thing underused by you?
Oh, very much underused by me. It's the cover hasn't been off of that thing since the beginning of the pandemic. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Looks like you've got to start using some tools you have laying around. 312-332-3776. So what do you expect out of this White Sox team in this stretch of 15 games? I don't like predictions. I certainly want a better outcome than 500, but... You know what? Where's 500 going to land us after this stretch? Right where we are right now. And that's not good enough. It is not good enough. If we can win two of three from the Twins and at least two of three from Detroit and Cleveland, we've got more than that from them. Who are we meeting in there? I've got to look.
Okay, so
I had that in front of me.
Here we go. You got the Twins for three.
Yep.
You got Detroit in town over the weekend for four.
Four, that's okay. Four.
Then you go to Cleveland for three. Then you go to Minnesota for four. And then you get the All-Star break. And then you're back home against Cleveland for three. And that's the end of the stretch.
The dangerous stretch.
Of the division where either you make hay and you get back in the
thing. Well, you make or break. It's make or break.
So if I asked you what... So the Yankees hit the ball out of the ballpark. The Guardians don't strike out. Minnesota grinds it out with OPS plus. What if the Sox were on this list and were leading the division? What would coming into the season? What would you think would have been their calling card? What to be a successful team and a team that could win this division? What were you expecting to be? The bullpen was sold as one of the best in baseball. Everyone had hopes for the starting rotation, right? And then Dallas Keuchel happened a couple times.
Right.
And they haven't hit the ball out of the ballpark. What is it that...
That's it. That's it for me, Brian, because, yes, the bullpen was perhaps a bit oversold. There have been injuries, but we've had great pitching appearances from the starters, obviously. Even the bullpen's been okay at times, but we have not supported them
really
enough with enough runs.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's the thing. If we're, how many games were we up like 2-0, 3-1, whatever the case, and we go late in the game, the bullpen shows up, and they get hit a little. We did not support them. Two runs in a game is not enough.
No.
So I would say the overarching issue for me has been the offense. Whether it's a home run or it's small ball that the Twins seem to be playing, it is taking advantage and the mistakes we're making on the field. That's part of it too. But the biggest reason for me is the offense. Because if the offense was scoring like they did last year, some of these other things, some of these other parts that have fallen would not have been critical in creating a loss.
Yeah, I mean, again, different ways of getting it done. Houston has got the best overall ERA in baseball. The Mets are a team that just all they do is get on base. Their on-base percentage is among the best in baseball. They have seven batters who have an on-base percentage above the league average. And, in the Cubs division, Milwaukee's bullpen is lights out. When you got Josh Hader and Devin Williams, the Cardinals are doing it with young guys. I mean, did you see what yesterday? Again, you can go to a baseball game and see something you've never seen before. First time in Major League history, a team has hit four consecutive home runs in a first inning. And three of those guys who did it for the Cardinals in Philadelphia are rookies. And I think it was only the 11th time that it's been done in Major League history where you've had four consecutive home runs in any inning. But they're doing it with a bunch of young guys, which, you know, scares me as a Cubs fan when you've got that kind of talent that's that young.
That depth. Yep. Yep.
That tells you about the Cardinals and their system and why they've only had one losing season in forever, right? 30 years or whatever it was. Derek told us. And then you look at the Dodgers out west. You got their starting starting pitching ERA is their calling card, and even the Padres, they're playing much better defense. I mean, they were a team that kicked the ball around a lot last year, mm-hmm. and this year they're playing almost perfect defense. So there are different things, and sadly, every one of those areas, the Sox have had their hiccups in, right?
They have. But it's never too late to turn it around.
No.
And certainly these two games, again, you know, when you see Dylan Cease, who has been dominating, have not a great day yesterday, but he did survive it, and we were grinding. And we got that win. That is those are the wins that are probably going to be, if we go on a roll, we'll see those types of wins more often than we'll see blowouts. I mean, there's no doubt about that. So we have to learn how to win that way consistently.
You said it. I mean, the maturation of Dylan Cease, where he said it was good enough yesterday, not great. And he's okay with guys, you know, hitting a home run and a double to start the game. He said, because if you're in the strike zone, someone's going to eventually get the bat on the ball.
Right. But if your offense is moving, you just have to give less runs up than your offense scores. I mean, it's simple math.
And you mentioned Jose Abreu. After the break, we can get into his numbers, because you said it yesterday. No one's been hotter than Jose Abreu. And, Dylan Cease was pitcher of the month. Jose Abreu, offensive numbers for the month of June, pretty
insane.
Impressive.
Pretty insane. Yes, we will touch upon that and more. Again, you're welcome to jump in if you'd like. 312-332-3776 as you're getting ready for your celebrations, or maybe you're in the midst of your long holiday celebration. We're here for you, and we're here until noon. Connor McKnight's got the pregame at 2:30 here on your home for the White Sox, ESPN 1000. And Lennon DJ will be on the call first pitch at 3:05. Giolito on the bump as we try to take game 3 in San Francisco. This is ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Here it comes. Swing and a liner to left. That ball's going to be over the head of Jock Peterson. Anderson scores. Here comes Vaughn. Abreu will be held at third. The White Sox have the lead. That'll be a double for Gavin Sheets.
ESPN 1000, Xander and Hanley. Funny thing, Brian, I saw on Twitter yesterday, somebody commented, boy, Jock Peterson would have been perfect for the White Sox. it's like anybody that seriously wanted him. Look, one play does not determine a whole player, but he bounces around for a reason. And I thought it was interesting that the Braves didn't keep him. And, you know, he's been an asset to a certain degree to the Giants. That was just a rough play, but that's okay. We'll take it. We've done that plenty for other teams this year on the South Side. And we need to see,
Remember he had the dream, and he called the Cubs, and he dreamt that he was going to be a Cub. And next thing you know, he was a Cub.
Yeah.
It was that easy. Yeah,
it was that easy. I wonder if he tried. Rick Hahn's like, oh no, Peterson's on the phone. He had a dream. I'm not answering this. I'm not answering this phone.
Don't go to sleep, Jock. No, stay up.
Slap. You know, Graveman and Kelly pitched 2 days in a row.
And really well.
You know, but seriously, that's not something we saw from Tony earlier.
No, but they're unavailable tonight.
Right. So. No, they definitely are. But, however, earlier in the season, with Restamol Tony La Russa, you did not see that.
No.
And maybe he is
realizing
that it's just, you know, maybe that is his ultimate scenario, but the ultimate scenario isn't exactly working out right now. So maybe he's learning. Maybe he's listening.
All hands
maybe,
on deck.
Yeah, it's all hands on deck. And yes, they will not be available tonight. Likely we will see We'll see Ruiz, maybe, hopefully not Foster, You know, who's going to come in tonight? Hendricks, do we have an idea yet of when he's back?
I think Monday.
Monday. Oh, thankfully. I think
he's like on track to be back.
Thankfully.
Monday,
thankfully.
Sure. It was like, yeah. He was talking about his rehab starts the other day. I can pull that clip out.
Yeah, yeah. We'd like to see him back. We certainly need him, especially in this stretch. I mean, there's
I was trying to get you David Robertson back.
I know you were. We appreciate it. We appreciate it.
Hey, he's doing. I mean, I know you know it doesn't matter necessarily, but he's having a very nice season at the tender age of 37. I think.
Man, and it wouldn't be, you know, if he came back, it wouldn't be the first time. I mean, he.
No, and again, it wouldn't be this Craig Kimbrell who's going to close. I mean, that whole conversation between Liam and Kimbrell, and they were all for it, and don't worry, egos weren't going to get involved, and it just didn't work out. I mean, Robertson would be happy to be on a contending team.
Just to be involved, to help. In any way he can. That's what
absolutely.
We need. Lopez has been strong for us in the bullpen. Mm-hmm. Velasquez has been pretty decent, so hopefully we'll. But we need, look, the obvious thing is Giolito goes deeper into the game, right?
Yes, that would help.
If we could get seven out of him,
ooh,
that would be glorious. Here's Liam Hendricks, who we want to play this here.
Good. Yeah, it went well. It was good enough to be active, but the training staff said no, and so I had to throw the same game instead. I wanted to be active. Unfortunately, it didn't come to fruition, but same game went well today. I had to throw it five batters because I got the first three out too quickly. So I ended up at 18 pitches. Yes, I have no idea what the metrics or anything like that said, but the ball came out well, and that's all that really matters.
And how you feel, that matters too, I suppose, right?
A little bit, I guess. I don't know. No. It felt normal for me, which is good. It has for the last little bit, but now the plan is to be active on Monday. And, right in time for that twin series.
Yeah, we need him. We need him bad.
He went Larry David on here with the Australian.
I didn't notice that. But, that commercial that Larry David's involved with all the inventions
very
or
funny.
Something. Yeah,
very funny. So they need Liam back. They need Giolito to be better. They have a lot of things. They need Yoan Moncada to start going 2-for-3 on a regular basis. But and I'm with you. In general, they need more offense. And top to bottom, they need stars being stars. Now, Jose Abreu, you mentioned it yesterday, and insane is the word you used a few minutes ago. This is he's reached 14 times over the last six games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he legged one out yesterday, right? I mean, just all hustle to get to first base and went 1-for-3, but extended that streak of his on base streak. So Chris Kamka did some digging. Jose Abreu is the first Sox player to have more than 30 hits, more than 15 runs scored, more than 15 RBI, and more than 15 walks in a single month since your guy Paul Konerko in August of 2010. Now, that's all around right there. You're taking walks, you're scoring, you're driving runs
and
in.
And that's after a rough start. Now, he doesn't hit well in April. You know, the weather heats up, and that's when he heats up. But, boy, did he heat up. And there were some people that thought, you know what, maybe just isn't going to – he isn't going to bounce back. He's a little older now. But look at this.
Look at this. That's pretty impressive.
That's leading by example. You know, I know Tim is our vocal leader, but I've always said Abreu is our leader.
He absolutely is.
Yep.
Absolutely is. I mean, he commands that clubhouse. I mean, Tim, the team's record when Tim Anderson's in the lineup is much better than when he's not. So no argument to be made there. You're a better team with Tim Anderson. But just leading by example, kind of a quiet leader. I mean, first guy to come to Tony's defense, Jose Abreu, to take pressure off the manager when he was getting it from all sides.
And that's a leader quality right there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, I think you still need more. You know, Rick Hahn is going to watch these games. I don't see a move being made during this homestand necessarily, but I think he's going to let this thing play out, and he'll have a very good idea within 3 weeks of what this team actually is and how he reacts to the trade deadline. But, Ian Happ, whether you want a guy like that or not, I think he could help the team. We were talking about being an attendee. This is weird. So he's having a good season. And we talked about him being on the Yankees, you know, shopping list with Hap and a couple others, Juan Soto. The dream would be Juan Soto, and then you get down to the maybe realistic guys and like being.
Do the Yankees need anything else?
Well, apparently they think they do, because Hicks and Joey Gallo are
well. Then there's that. But they're playing so well with them.
Right, but they want to win a World Series, so more is always better. Right?
More better.
Be an attendee. Now, look at this. He has a .306 batting average. No one cares about batting average. .373 on base percentage. His slugging is only .391, and this is the oddest thing. You know, I'm trying to find a little more pop for the White Sox, a little more home run power, right? So Hap is the guy who can hit from both sides of the plate, and he can actually, you know, hit the ball out of the ballpark on occasion. 81% of BN attendees hits are singles this season. 81%. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
And again,
know.
He's younger than I thought he was. He's 20. He'll be 28 Seven. This. Yeah, he's 28 this week.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the Sox could use more base runners and more on base and you know, generate and get them on, get them over, get them in. So it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but I thought, you know, he had a little more power than that, but the slugging is hasn't been there this year for him.
Here's the issue. If we come out of this 15-game stretch at, let's say right in the middle, split in the middle, and say .500, that's obviously not good enough.
No.
What do we do at the trade deadline? Are there enough moves to make at the trade deadline that aren't going to mortgage the future that could really make a huge difference if we are still running in place?
Is like 10-5 in this 15-game stretch, is that pie in the sky, given what we've been watching? Is that just...
Given what we've been watching ahead of the San Francisco series? Yeah, it seems like it.
I mean, you get a healthy dose of the bad Detroit Tigers, but...
And that's four.
Don't you really need to go like 10-5, 9-6?
Well, you need to have a winning record, definitely. But
I mean, not just one over.
Right.
8-7 doesn't really get me excited. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get like 10-5, 11-4. Am I on drugs when I think that's even a possibility with this team? We have seen
them go into Toronto and all of a sudden have a dominating performance, and it's not generally the pitching that's so much different. It's the offense. And 10-5, based on what we've seen collectively to this point, unfortunately, it sounds almost unrealistic. But really, it's not, because what we've done against the Giants, you know, they're...
I mean, you have to take the four against the Tigers. You just do. Right.
You have
to. I know that's, you know, not
now,
likely.
Let's say we take three from four of the Tigers. But if we still win the other series,
we're okay.
And I think, is that doable? But sadly, if we're basing it on what we've seen so far this season, it gives pause for caution. Certainly does.
Are you going out there for country music night on Friday against the Tigers?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Unless Chris Stapleton was there or some of the interesting country artists.
You know, I don't like Kenny Chesney guy.
No. Yeah.
The country
Jimmy Buffett. No.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Exactly right.
No, none of that stuff.
Does he have hotels? Margaritaville?
Hey, Chris Stapleton can play lead guitar.
Oh,
I'm a rock guy. I need to hear some guitar, screaming guitar. I'm good.
And not only that, he wrote a song about his dog after his dog passed. He can write a song about the most ridiculous thing,
and he would make it sound good. He's a very talented.
No, but I mean that one moves you. I mean, if you have dogs. I mean, God bless Chris. He looks like a guy that you wouldn't want to. At a bar, you wouldn't want to cross him necessarily. Like,
and he probably does that on purpose.
Yeah, right.
Probably a sweetheart of a guy, but he has the exterior of some badass.
Yeah, like, ooh.
That you don't want to approach.
Yeah.
312-332-3776. What has to obviously happen for the White Sox to come out of this 15-game stretch with, I don't know, let's say 10-5 or 9-6?
Yeah, come on, take my drugs. Sell me that's possible, because...
Possible, but if we're basing it on recent history, it seems improbable. I think that's the best way to say it.
All right, I'm going to have another gummy then.
Yeah, load up. It's the holiday weekend.
Maybe I'll have a cup of coffee.
Okay. Yeah. Chase it with that coffee. 312-332-3776. When we come back, we're going to hit upon something that happened on Friday that, you know what, we're going to bring up something that happened with the Bears. Kind of interesting. Some people are maybe making it a bigger deal than possibly is. I want to get your take on it, Brian. It's Hanley and Xander here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at @ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Xander and Hanley here till noon on ESPN 1000. Connor McKnight pregame 2:30 as we're looking for a sweep in San Francisco. Sox taking on the Giants. Giolito on the hill. Len and DJ on the call. First pitch at 3:05. On your home for Chicago White Sox baseball, ESPN 1000. All right, so Brian, this happened on Friday. And being a newspaper guy for years, you know this, that when somebody gets fired or some changes or there's something to talk about, but you want to be low-key, you bury it on a late Friday, right?
Yep. And Brad Biggs, who, you know, has been covering the Bears forever and is the scoop guy, found this out and tweeted it out. The Bears fired director of player engagement, Lamar Soup Campbell. And Biggs, he wrote, you may recognize his name as one of the members of the committee, the team assembled in the hiring process for the new GM and coach. GM Ryan Poles called Campbell, who was out of town on vacation, and dismissed him.
And popped him. Yeah.
On vacation.
So, okay. So, first things first, as far as I'm concerned, well, maybe you could tell me. I'm not sure. Those are one of those titles that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
What does that really mean? Okay, maybe you don't know then. But what does that really mean? It's like, you know, I'm the director of, custodial services or whatever when you're running a shredder. You know, right. What does that really mean?
Okay, so he is the. He was the director of engagement, player engagement.
VP of player engagement, yeah.
Yeah. So this is from.
He reaches out to people, the players that have been signed, and helps them acclimate to the team.
Who are going to get married, apparently. He's got the engagement thing going on. So this is your guy, Matt Nagy. So he was a holdover. The odd thing here is that he was on the committee that landed on Ryan Poles.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, a committee. Does everybody vote equally on the committee?
I don't know, but
Bill Polian, which I think would probably have been the loudest voice on that committee.
Right. But I mean, maybe Poles found out that Soup voted against him. I don't know. But so he was on the search committee and sat in on all his interviews, the got you the new GM and Matt Eberflus is the new coach.
Mm.
This was from Matt Nagy because he was a holdover from the previous regime. Matt Nagy said, speaking of Soup, he does a really, really good job of understanding what these players are going through on a daily basis, not even just in 2020, but in prior years. I don't even know what that means. He builds unbelievably great relationships with them. They trust him. They understand him. That still doesn't tell me what he does. He understands the players. They understand him. They trust him. And everyone understands, and everyone's trust. I don't know.
Now what you brought up, right? Beyond, we don't know what that exactly entails.
Right.
The fact that he was a Nagy guy, that's a point to be taken.
Wouldn't you have gotten to this before?
Right. Well, seemingly, yes.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that something else happened where. You know, something really serious happened in the background, because I can tell you, when you get fired on a Friday afternoon by phone, when you're on vacation, somebody's sending you a message. It's not a, hey, you know what? We can no longer use your services. We really appreciate it. We're going to move in a different direction. It's like, nah, we want you out of here.
Yeah.
So there's a tone to this that makes me believe that something happened. Now, have we not had a couple of issues with players that have been signed, onboarded, and have some legal issues recently?
Yeah, but those are guys that came from the Colts. That's Eberflus. Those are Eberflus's guys.
Right. I look. I'm just searching. I'm just throwing stuff against the wall.
So,
it seems like there had to have been something very, very serious to happen. The way he was dismissed.
Yeah. I mean, normally on vacation, you couldn't wait till he got back in from vacation.
No.
You know, hey, your stuff's packed up. We'll ship it to wherever you are. Don't bother coming back to Hell's Hall. It was weird when I saw it, and again, I'm not even sure what the director of player engagement means, but there might be some of that, that if guys are running afoul of the law, even though they weren't felonies, if that reflects poorly on he wasn't engaged enough with those two players in particular,
right,
I don't know.
Right, right. I mean, there are a lot of reading between the lines on this. And some fans have, started at we don't have a lot of Bears news right now. So for Bears fans that are just patiently waiting for Bears news, when you see some like this, they're trying to make something of nothing. And what this really means, is this going to affect the play? No, none of that.
No.
But it is a story of which people are grabbing onto. And the only thing that I've noticed is the fact that you brought up he was a naggy guy. Why wouldn't that have happened earlier? And then you've got issues with, the players. And as you said, that's more of an Eberflus guy.
But Big Z wrote that he was popular with ownership, too. I mean, so now
something must have happened, because there's just no way that's going to happen the way it happened, especially unless there was something not so great that happened behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, if just because he was a holdover, you were going to get to him eventually, I would have happened before last
week
in June.
Seems like it. Yeah. You had plenty of time to do that. And again, is that a critical position in which that's something that has to be? Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Overall, we don't even know what it is. So how critical could it be?
It's not like he's putting the offensive line together.
To make an early decision on, this is a naggy guy, we have to move forward. Basically, the meeting might have been like, what do you do? Okay. And then from there, again, something might have went sideways to where they said, we have to get rid of this guy and we're going to send a message. Because getting fired, dismissed by phone on a Friday while you're on vacation, that's sending a message. I'm not sure who the message has to go to or other people that have to absorb that message. But believe me, in this business of radio, I've heard some really messed up scenarios of people getting dismissed, like right in the middle of their shows.
Yeah, they waited till my first day back from vacation to tell me that, I just thought they were, dragging their feet on another contract and going to lowball me. And the meeting lasted 30 seconds and the dope handed me a bottle of water. And I'm like, somewhere I just got fired. I've never been fired by anything in my life.
Right,
but
right.
I was like, did I just get fired?
Yeah. Well, it's happened to me a few times. And, you show up for a meeting that's a little weird and there's an empty box waiting on a table. And it's like, okay, I know what this is. But I'm not going to mention a name, but a very famous music host in this city once upon a time got fired during a commercial break. I'm not kidding. That's what I've heard from reliable sources.
That's literally the
person that was taking over the show was hiding behind the door when they were walked out. The door closed. The door swung, and the person walked by them, and they snuck in and picked up the show outside the commercial break.
That is just. I mean, you talk about.
That's so weak.
That's sending a message. I don't know what the message was or whatever, but that type of
radio.
Thing. Those dramatic firings. When egos are involved, that's sending a message. And I'm telling you, this is some sort of message. We don't know what it is, but it's certainly worthy of talking about. And as you said, Biggs broke it, so we thought we'd kind of try to make sense of it, even if there's no sense at all.
Well, I'm sure there's another team out there that needs a director of player engagement.
And what do we do? Are we replacing this person?
Oh, with somebody? You can't go into the season without a director of player engagement. Are you kidding me?
Maybe he said, hey, look, please don't get arrested. Maybe he forgot to say that to a couple players.
He's taking the hit.
I know.
I mean, if anyone's got to have a little stink on him from those two incidents, it's the new head coach. I mean, maybe he needs to be a little more engaged with the Colts he's bringing over here. But again, you can't go into the season without director player engagement. You're out. That is just
you're out of your mind. That's reckless behavior, isn't
it,
Brian?
That's amateur hour stuff right there. Are you kidding me? Don't worry about whether Luke Getsy knows how to call a game and make a play call. This, you better get on this right now. You better have this filled tomorrow.
And it's funny. Okay? And it's funny. We are being funny about blowing something that's really nothing into something. But that's been some of the reaction that I've seen on Twitter. It's like everybody chill out.
Yeah. Well, on Twitter, chill out. Those things don't go together.
No, they don't. But we can always hope.
I think
for a better world and people to be more chill on Twitter.
Yeah. I think this is one of those situations, though, guys, where like Like, it, in all likelihood, it probably is nothing, but the Bears don't have that benefit of the doubt that they can, like, that
do
we should
something
just trust
like this
them.
And inconsequential.
Well,
it's
very un-Bear-like. I mean, first of all, you get plenty of time to fail with the Bears. I mean, go see Phil Emery and Mark Trestman and Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. I mean, you get to flounder for a long time before you get shown the door. So this is very un-Bear-like. They don't fire coaches in the middle of the season. And apparently now they do fire directors of player engagement during vacations. But
well, maybe this is a new day and time. Maybe Ryan Poles, part of his taking this job, said, I really want autonomy. And, you know, there's no Ted Phillips reaching in and all that kind of stuff. It starts and ends with me. And maybe this is something he needed to do from whatever reason, but that breaks tradition.
This is not like, okay, when I was covering the Bulls and on Christmas Eve, they were practicing Christmas Eve day. And we went up to Birdo Center. And one of the TV cameramen from one of the stations said, I think I just saw Scott Skiles walk out the back door and leave, which would have been odd since they were practicing. And sure enough, Scott Skiles had just walked out the back door and left because he'd just been fired. And he went up to a meeting with Jerry Reinsdorf and John Paxson, and they were not having a great season. And they basically asked him how he was going to turn this thing around. And his question was, well, what if I can't? What if I'm not so sure there's a clear path to turn this thing around? And within 10 minutes, they were negotiating an exit package for him.
Right.
On Christmas Eve, no matter if it was Christmas Eve or not, he was gone because that was not the answer they were looking for.
And that's not the way you do your job.
No, but that was Scott Skiles. He wasn't going to BS you. He was just going to tell you how it is.
Right.
You know, that the team wasn't responding to him or whatever. I mean, and later that day on the phone, he said, you know, we all have to be held accountable. Today was my time to be held accountable. And, you know, Scott wasn't losing any sleep over it because he walked away with a lot of Jerry's money. But those things, you know, you don't see coming necessarily. But when it's this layer of management and front office, I don't know how to read into that or whether there's anything to read into that. It's just odd. And the Bears normally don't operate that
way. Right, right, right. And that's why we're talking about it, trying to search for answers, why it was buried, why it happened that way, what could have happened, and how did it happen this way, knowing how the Bears operate. But it makes for a very interesting conversation. All right, we've got one more segment, and then we're going to get Connor McKnight in here. He won't be here till 2:30 pregame, and the Lennon DJ calling the first pitch at 3:05 here on ESPN 1000. Sox taking on the Giants in San Francisco. We'll wrap up a couple polls, and I've got the Sox starting lineup. We'll give that to you next on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Watch us today and every day on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000. Chicago's Ender and Hanley up until noon. We've got a couple of Twitter polls to wrap. Before we get any further setting up today's game, Giolito is on the bump as the White Sox taking on the Giants. First pitch 3:05 here on your home for the White Sox. Tim Anderson batting first at shortstop. No rest for Tim. That's good. Andrew Vaughn's DHing today.
That's
good. Batting second. Yes, that bat has to be in there every day. He's 25. No rest for the wicked. Luis Robert, center field. He's batting third. Jose Abreu, who is just really tearing it up. He is at first base. He's batting cleanup. Gavin Sheets, who had a couple doubles yesterday. Right field, he is fifth. Yoan Moncada batting sixth. At third base, Leury Garcia in left field.
Of course.
Batting seventh. Yep, the bromance goes on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Josh Harrison at second base. He's back in the lineup batting eighth. Sebi Zavala batting ninth and catching Lucas Giolito. Now, when we get some bodies back, the question will be, does Leury still get an inordinate amount of playing time when we get an angle back? Or, you know, or maybe we make a trade. Maybe we make a Hap trade. You think they'll take Garcia?
No.
No, probably not.
No, probably not.
Just for a second there, I thought, is that possible?
No, I don't think David Ross has a bromance with Lori.
No, that's Tony's thing.
Yeah.
Look, and I will say this. I personally know that I've been bagging on Leori. I mean, a couple weeks ago, we put up a poll that was all my doing that said, who's going to get DFA'd, Josh Harrison or Leori? Now, since then, all the Josh haters have got to admit that, you know, he's starting to show up, and that's who we thought he would be. And he's not the only one that had a slow start on this team. And that is why we're in this situation. We are
Tony called Lurie special.
And that, and right. And look, if he turns into something special, if Leori starts heating up like other players have, and he's really carrying the weight, I will be fine with it. We need everybody to show up. But time and time again, he has put all of this responsibility on Leori, and he has not delivered.
He's not that guy.
No, he's not that guy. He's not that guy. Will he turn into that guy by some miracle? Okay, we're all hoping for miracles each and every day.
Well,
I think that's a lyric of some sort.
Yeah. Again, it you know, whatever he gives you is nice, but you need Mankata. You need up and down the list, your stars being your stars.
And if those stars are the stars and Leori isn't delivering offensively, or isn't, and you can live with that. That's right. That's right.
If he gives you a little bonus, that's terrific.
Yes.
But
you can't count on him. You cannot count on him.
2 for 3 from Johan today. More of that going into this season defining stretch. You need, and now's the time, you know, no more hemming and hawing, no more stops and starts, no more turning the corner. It's full speed ahead starting tomorrow.
Talking White Sox, the Twitter poll at ESPN 1000. Where will the Sox stand after their upcoming stretch of 15 games versus division opponents? Your choices, first, second, third, where they're at currently, or they drop to fourth or fifth. Charlie Bevins, producing today. Charlie, what does that poll look like?
The people say second, so not quite breaking through, but second can lead you to a wild card, especially in the span of playoffs. So
it's cautious optimism.
Yeah, cautious, I think that's a good optimism. Way to put it.
Where did where'd first? Were there any eternal optimists out there?
11.5% first. Fourth and fifth was the lowest one, so we're not super angry over here.
Okay. All right, and a couple of writing comments. One was don't sleep on the Twins, I believe, and the other one?
Pulling it up right here. Okay. Sellers, that's what the other one said.
Oh, okay. Boy. See, that's Sellers. Just negative. That's
Sellers
just negative.
As in they're going to sell people, or they're going to be in the basement in the cellar?
Sellers as in they're going to be selling.
Okay, selling with an S. Okay.
Both could be true.
All right, and the other Twitter poll, what is your favorite 4th of July barbecue food?
I voted sausages.
Sausages. That's the way you say it.
Sausages won, but I do wonder if maybe there was a little bit of a crowded primary between the hot dogs, brats, and sausages in your lengthwise meats, and maybe they kind of split up the vote a little bit.
Yeah. Right. And then we could say, is a hot dog a sandwich? Don't even get there.
Don't even get there.
That's for the All-Star break.
Okay, when we're running out of content. We'll save that for the All-Star break. All right, so burgers is it. I don't know what I'm having today, and Brian, you obviously don't know what you're having today, but I wish you the best of luck.
I'm going to have a couple of Jolt Colas.
No, you're not. That'll rot the teeth out of your head, my friend. We have got to get out of here. Enjoy the celebrations today if you're doing that today or tomorrow or both days, or you're in the middle of a 3-day celebration. Those Sox.
Watch the thumbs with the fireworks.
And return with all 10 digits. That is my plan as well, Charlie. You do the same. And we'll see you next weekend again. Connor McKnight, pregame 2:30. Lennon DJ on the call. First pitch at 3:05. Lucas Giolito on the bump. White Sox looking to sweep in San Francisco on your home for the Chicago White Sox. ESPN 1000 for Brian Hanley. I'm Mark Zander. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.